so we're going to forego the singing. Actually, we want Don to feel needed, so we will hold off on singing. And then when Don returns, we incorporate that again.
It's not in your contract.
That's right. I'm guessing the next batch of seminary students will have song leading as part of the curriculum. <Uh-oh>. Okay, well, let's open with a word of prayer and we will begin with our message. Father, we do thank thee for the day. We're grateful for your goodness to us and the opportunities to be in your word and to relate to truth and just the opportunity to be around other believers. And we pray that your spirit would guide and direct as we continue. In Christ's name, amen. So we're in the series and we're considering the world system, one of our spiritual enemies. It's a spiritual enemy that we can't fully get away from. Because we'd have to leave planet Earth. And so, when the rapture happens, we'll no longer have to think about the world system, although the Lord is going to take care of it at his second coming, of course. But we've been going through a number of things about the world system, and we know Satan as the ruler of it. He wields a lot of influence, if you will, over the unsaved, and the world system is one of the ways that he does that. And we also know that the world system can trip up us as Christians in that, one, it can get us to misdirect our agape love. And when we do that, we're not going to be loving the Father. And how do you love the Father? Well, you're going to love the brethren. And so you can't be loving the world system and God at the same time. And so the world system is a spiritual enemy. And it's interesting when you look at the world system is that it does have appeals to certain aspects of the flesh. And so we've been going through a number of things considering that. We've considered the elementary principles of the world system and how the world system, it has its ABCs, its building blocks. And those building blocks are intended, if you will, to get a person practice in exercising self-control by the flesh. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing if that's the only nature we have. If the flesh was the only nature we had, those ABC building blocks are good in a sense. But because of the incarnation and the person and work of Jesus Christ, Christians now, we have the potential to live free from serving the sin nature. So that's not the direction we want to go, is having practice in conforming the flesh. We want to live free from it. We want to live above it. And so this is interesting when we start. Now let's just turn to 1 John. We've been pivoting off of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17 there. And I'll continue to do that a number of times throughout this series. In this verse, in this context, it's interesting because it's in the context talking in reference to these young men who are spiritually young men. Their relative spiritual growth is that they're strong. They're in a state of overcoming Satan in the context. And so to be doing that, they would have to be overcoming the sin nature. But yet they're still having some issues with one of their spiritual enemies. the world system. And so in 1 John 2:15, the apostle says, stop loving the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love concerning the Father is not in him. And then in verse 16, he explains, because all that is in the world, and here we see the lust of the flesh. It's interesting. The way Satan has built and designed the world system, it appeals to certain works of the flesh. So remember, Satan is the father of unsaved humanity. The unsaved belong to him. The only nature they can live out from is the flesh, the sin nature. So obviously, if he's trying to influence them, he's trying to control unsaved humanity. He's only going to be able to do it with working with what he's got. Satan can't regenerate. He's not God. So he's got to try to reform, conform. And so the world system is designed with that purpose in mind, it's going to appeal to certain works of the flesh. And it's going to try to steer away from other works of the flesh. And so eventually we're going to get into, we'll touch on some of that today. And so you have the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And so Satan was observant. He has had a long time to observe man. He observed Eve and Adam and Eve in the garden. There in Eve's temptation, he saw that the eye gate was important to enticing. And he hadn't built the world system yet, but he's incorporated that very thing, the lust of the eyes. So a lot of us, when we think of the world system and then the lust from the world system, we probably think about the lust of the eyes, and we tend to think of the things in the world as physical things and tying that to the works of the flesh of covetous, right, of idolatry. That's where a lot of people go. But it goes much further than that, much further than that. But you have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, as the King James reads. And so this word here, alazonia, it has the idea of the empty boasting, the empty pride. I've referred to this as the empty swagger. The empty swagger, the empty boasting, it likes to show itself. He says, concerning life, physical life. And so, you know, Satan, he's observed man. And you see that reflected in something that Satan says to Jehovah in Job 2:4. Let me just grab this real quick. In Job 2:4, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that man has, he will give for his life, for his nephesh, his life. I translate it there. And so man values physical life, and Satan has built his world system with appeals to that to that appetite, if you will, to that value. And so this empty boasting, this empty swagger concerning physical life. Here the apostle says it's not out from the Father as the source, but is out from the world. Isn't that interesting? So agape love is out from the Father as the source. And these spiritual Christians who were spiritually mature as young men, they had a strength to be in a state of overcoming Satan and having victory over the sin nature, yet they were directing that agape love at the world system, which is under Satan's influence. That's in his sphere of influence. He's the ruler of it. And so he tells them, these things are not out from the Father as the source, but it is out from the world system as the source. And so if we just turn, I mean, we're here in 1 John, and I keep coming back to 5:19 as a little reminder. We want to be reminded when we're talking about the world system, it's not just man's system. Satan is the ruler of it. King James in those verses translates it, he's the prince of the world. But that word literally means he's the ruler of it. He's the ruler of it. And in 1 John 5:19, and we know, we intellectually know, we stand intellectually knowing that we are out from God as the source. And so we as Christians are out from God as the source. I find that important because it's not out from us. It's out from God. That we are. And the whole world lies in the, not the, in wickedness, but it is in the articular wicked one or malignant evil one. The whole world. And so all of unsaved humanity, which makes up the world system, it lies in the sphere of the malignant evil one. And so he's the one, he's corrupted his wisdom, and he's not content with just himself being corrupted. He wants others to see things his way. And so he's in the business of corrupting. And one of the ways that he does that is through the influence that he wields through the world system, through the world system. Now we've gone back to Colossians a few times. It's interesting in Colossians because we have our term for what we translate the elementary principles of the world system, the ABCs, the building blocks. If you recall in Colossians 2:8, Paul is in that context, he's telling them to walk in their position in Christ. You see that in 2:6. When we get to 2:8, he's warning them. There's something that can affect their walk in Christ, their ordering of their lives in their position in Christ. And so in 2:8, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and empty deceit. And so this fondness for wisdom, this pursuing of wisdom, even empty deceit, it's without content. That word vain has the idea of empty. Measured by the tradition of men. So here's a standard of measurement. The tradition of men measured by the rudiments of the world. And so here's a standard of measurement then that can lead you to not be walking in your position in Christ. And so he says, so beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and empty deceit, measured after the tradition of men, measured after the rudiments of the world, and not measured after Christ. And so that's the standard of measurement for Christians and our walking in him. These other things, tradition of men, the ABCs of the world system, will, in a sense, they get you to walk according to a different standard than what God has for us. And so that's where the problem is. Now, when we go over to verse 20, here Paul's explaining that Christians have a positional freedom from trying to conform the flesh, to trying to reform the flesh. That's been tried. It can't be done. That's why we have the incarnation and the crosswork and the resurrection. And so he says, wherefore, since you be dead with Christ, talking about your position in Christ, being one with him, you've been crucified with him, you've died with him, you've been buried with him, and you've been raised with him. Now you're co-seated with him in the heavenlies at the right hand of the Father. That's all by imputation. And so here Paul says, wherefore, since you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, the ABCs of the world, no longer is the standard of trying to exercise self-control by the flesh the standard which we're enslaved to. Says, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? And so to its decrees. The world system has its ordinances, its ABCs, these standards. It says, you know, this is how to do it. And then you see, touch not, taste not, handle not. And so you see some of these prohibitions here. These are, there's nothing necessarily wrong with these prohibitions, right? But they're a standard, they're building blocks that the world system, it's an example of how the world system can use a building block to establish some confidence in the flesh, some self-control, but by the flesh. Now, keep in mind, self-control, for the Christian, you have an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit. That's self-control. Supernatural. Don't have to do it by the flesh now. And so the world system, like I said, if you had just one nature, the flesh, the sin nature, then these ABCs from the world system are not a bad thing. But for the Christian, we have a different standard that we can be living by. We can be living above the flesh, above the sin nature. And so that's why Paul is bringing this up, because we see the wisdom of the world, and I'll show you this in scripture, the wisdom of the world builds confidence in the flesh. The wisdom of the world boasts in men. And that's not where our confidence should be. So we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware of what is the world system? What is it? What are its subtle messages? What is it trying to encourage you to do? What works of the flesh does it prefer humanity to live in? And so he goes on and he says in verse 22, which are all to perish with the using. And so they're temporary. He says, after the commandments and the doctrines of men. Now in verse 23, it's interesting because he says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom. So they have an appearance of a quality of wisdom. In will worship or just self-imposed religion and humility and neglecting of the body. And so there is a quality of an appearance of wisdom, but not in any value to the indulgences of the flesh, is how I'm going to translate that. And so, again, they have a show of wisdom because it's encouraging the exercise of self-control and one's own strength, but it's of no value to the indulgences of the flesh. You're not solving the problem. You're just kind of patching it up. You're trying to conform it, but it can't be reformed. God, it has to be, we have to be reborn. We have to have a new nature. The old nature, the sin nature, let me call it that, the sin nature can't be reformed. And so that's why we have to reckon our position in Christ to be so, where we've died to it. We've died to it, and we can be alive to God, free from serving the sin nature, and alive to God in Christ Jesus. What does Paul say over in Philippians 3:3? He makes the comment of boasting in Christ Jesus, not in the flesh. And so here in Philippians 3:3, Paul says, "For we are the circumcision which worship." Now the word for worship here, it's a participle and has the idea of religious service, and so serving. And so we are the circumcision which are serving God, and I would translate it, by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And rejoice, and the word rejoice is our word for boasting. It's a participle, and are boasting in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And so that's a proper attitude. That's seeing things the way they really are. Now the world system wants you to see things differently. The world system wants you to have confidence in the flesh. The world system wants you to be exercising self-control in your own strength. And so we saw this when we were in 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's just pick up in verse 3:18. Now, if you haven't corrected this in your King James Version, the word world there in verse 18 should be translated age. Age. Now, I'm hoping to be able to share some of this at the forum. But the wisdom of the age deals with maturing by the flesh. And so he says, let no man deceive himself. And the word deceive here is thoroughly deceive. If any man among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may be wise. So what he's saying here is you're going to have to be foolish from the world system's perspective of thinking that you can mature by the flesh. That's the wisdom of the age. So if you become a fool as far as that's concerned, then you can become wise according to God's wisdom. Because you're not going to mature by the flesh and grow by grace at the same time. It's impossible. And so he's going to explain in verse 19. He says, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. It's just, he's saying it's foolishness. It's, the wisdom of the world system, it's foolishness. It's intellectually weak. It's moronic with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise and that they are vain. The idea of vain here is worthless, useless. And so he goes on in verse 21. Therefore, so that let no man boast in men, And so that's what the world system's wisdom is going to lead to, is the boasting in man, the boasting in man's ability. If we looked at this context, this is what was going on in Corinth, as they were, they had divisions, and you had these divisions where they were aligning with certain men. I will come back to that at a future time, and I'll be touching on some of this we're going at the forum. But this boasting in men. And then we looked back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 30, it ties back to our position in Christ and Father, and God the Father being the source. But you see that no flesh should boast before thee God in verse 29, right? And so I know it says in his presence, but it's before thee God in the Greek in 1 Corinthians 1:29. Then he says, but out from him, out from God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and complete redemption. Those are possessions that we have in Christ. Then he goes on and he says that as according as it is written, he that is boasting, let him boast in the Lord. So you can see the contrast with the wisdom from the world and the wisdom that we have from God because of his word. But the world system, it encourages confidence in the flesh. Now, it's interesting when you realize that the world system appeals to certain works of the flesh. Now, those young men in 1 John, they were spiritual because they had agape love. They were just misdirecting it. But to have agape love, they had to be living above the sin nature, if you will, in their position in Christ, to have the agape love. And so there you can see agape love can be misdirected. But the carnal Christian doesn't have agape love to direct. He has the potential to become filled and become spiritual and be filled and then to be able to direct it. But at the time we're carnal, we don't have the agape love to direct it. But the carnal Christian can be fond of the world, can be fond of the world system. And so let's go back to James. So James, in chapter 4. Now, in 4, 1 through 3, you can see that James is identifying some of these here as carnal. They're living by the flesh. 4:1, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even as your pleasures that war in your members? And you can go on here and see that they're carnal. Now he says in verse 4, he says, you adulterers and adulteresses. He's talking about spiritual adultery. Know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? And he says, whoever therefore determines to be a friend of the world, he constitutes himself an enemy of God. Now, I'm going to tie this. The reason I wanted to point that out is when we are carnal, the world system doesn't stop potentially having an influence on us. And so you can see, if we back up now, in the previous context, James has been talking about wisdom. And he's talking about a certain type of wisdom that promotes certain works of the flesh. And so you can see that in verse 14, I'm sorry, in verse 3:14 through 16. And he says, but if you have bitter envyings, is the King James, it's our word for zeal. If you have bitter zeal, now remember, zeal can be kind of a good kind of zeal to do those things that God would have you do, but the sin nature can warp that. And it can be, and so here, just James, to, I guess, to make sure it's clear which kind of zeal he's talking about. He's talking about a zeal from the sin nature. He refers to it as bitter zeal. Bitter zeal. A zeal that's the zeal from the sin nature is a bent to outdo. Okay? That's one of the works of the flesh that the world system appeals to. And I'm going to show you that because in verse 15, let me just point this out right now. In verse 15, you see how it starts out? This wisdom, he's got a specific wisdom in mind. And so that's why I brought you to chapter 4. You can see the tie to the world system, friendship with the world. So he says, but if you have bitter zeal and strife, now the word strife here is our word for selfish ambition, self-seeking. It says, if you have bitter zeal and selfish ambition in your hearts, okay, now we're getting to where the problem is, the heart of the matter, if you will. He says, boast not and lie not against the truth. And so the truth here, it is articular. It might be a little early to think that this is the body of doctrine for how you have victory over the sin nature, but by context, you certainly could understand it that way. Or you could understand it as strictly seeing things as they really are. The truth. If you have these works of the flesh in your heart, and you're projecting by an outward appearance something else, that's lying against the way things really are. He says in verse 15, he says, this wisdom descends not from above. This wisdom is not from God. Make no mistake about it. Don't think that if you have these works of the flesh in your heart, zeal, bitter zeal, you're bitter about somebody else, whatever they're doing or accomplishing, and you want to outdo, or selfish ambition, self-seeking, where's your place in all of this, whatever it could be. Don't think that this wisdom is from God. He says, but it is earthly, soulish, and demon-like. And then he's going to explain in verse 16. He says, for where zeal and selfish ambition is, there is confusion and every useless work or every useless deed. And so that's what comes from the sin nature. And the world system wisdom is going to encourage you to operate in certain works of the flesh. Now, ultimately, that wisdom that would encourage people to operate in certain works of the flesh also encourages people to operate independently of God. And so we're going to see this, and this is where we're going to see our word again for the word that I translate empty swagger. And so in James 4:13 through 17, James is going to talk about these that are boasting about tomorrow. They have a confidence in the flesh. And in their confidence in the flesh, they have a disregard for what the Lord's will is. It's not that they just don't consider it. It's part of the equation. Why should they? They have confidence in the flesh. And so you can see what he says in James 4:13. He says, come now. You that say, just the ones that are saying, today or tomorrow we will go into this city. City, part of the world system. Really, the hub of the world system. And continue there a year. And so you see a confidence in their own abilities. And buy and sell. Commerce. And get gain. And so profit. Now, these things in themselves aren't evil necessarily, but their attitude is. Their attitude is. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, and what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away? And so here we see that they're arrogant in their confidence of what they're going to do and accomplish. In other words, they believe, their attitude is that they're the master of their own fate. Now he says in verse 15, for that you ought to say, if the Lord wills. So this is what they ought to say. Instead of saying, this is what they should say. If the Lord desires, we shall live and do this or do that. That's the proper attitude. Now he goes on in verse 16 and he says, but now you, not rejoice, but it's our word boast. So now you boast in your, now the word, the King James translates boastings. This is the same word that we have over in 1 John 2:16. He says, for now you boast in your, we could translate it empty boastings, your empty swagger. This empty swagger that likes to show itself. He says, now you boast in this empty swagger. All such boasting is evil, malignant evil. It's a corruption that likes to spread. It's challenging others, in a sense, to live by the flesh, to live and operate by selfish ambition and zeal. So now by them boasting in their boastings and this empty swagger, they're, in a sense, challenging others to do the same thing. This is what we're going to do. You want to outdo us? Great. It's out there for the taking. You're the master of your fate. That's evil. That's evil because it takes God out of the equation. And this is why you have to keep in mind that independence from God does relate to the world system. The world system wisdom will appeal to certain works of the flesh that will cause you, if you follow that wisdom, to act independently of God. And that's why I'm glad that in your chart of spiritual enemies, that you have independence of God listed under the world system. It's subtle, but it's there. You just have to go and connect the dots. He goes on in verse 17. He says, therefore, to him that knows to do good, and this good is that which is excellent. And the good in the context is God's will, the Lord's will. He says, therefore, to him that knows to do good and is not doing it, to him it is sin. It's sin has the character and quality. And so what James is really saying is, don't judge wisdom by how it might tickle the mind or appeal to the soul. Judge it by what it produces. And we'll be taking a look at those things, but I just want to finish up back in our, because it ties back to the will of God, into 1 John in 2:17. So we've read 2:15, 2:16, and 2:17. Here, John reminds the believers, the world system, the world is passing away. It's temporary. And the lust thereof. But he that is doing the will of God, he remains settled. He just remains at ease into the age, into the age. And so we could go further down into this context, and the apostle reminds them that they have an anointing from the Holy One, and they can intellectually know all things. One of those all things that Christians can know through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is the will of God. And that's where our focus ultimately needs to be. But the world system has a wisdom that will appeal to certain works of the flesh that steer you away from the will of God. But that's where we'll end today. Let's Don is scheduled to be filling in for me next Sunday as we will be here, but we will be with some company and doing some things on Saturday and with the forum. Don had agreed to do that, so we hope that he'll be in condition to do that. And so we're going to put a pause on the series for next week, and we'll see what Don has for us. Father, thank you for this day. We're grateful as we head into this week for the prospects that are before us with the forum, and we remember all those that are participating, either in presenting papers or in helping with all of the necessary things to host it. To those that your Spirit is working in the hearts of to be here, we just pray that all of these details will work out to your glory, and we anticipate the good things that you will do. In Christ's name, amen.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised you started out a little bit. I don't know if it would be a better age than it is. Yeah. I don't know if it would be a better age than it is. You're catching it. Now you got a little while to get rid of that. I just let him go. I just let him go. Let's see. Okay. Don't get to the first one. You can't say anything. See who he goes to. Aha!
There's one of the guys brought over late. And no, that's a great. Real big play. Anyway, I sort of grab it as I'm loading it. I said, let me know when you get to it.
Very sharp.
Yeah,
it was right on the connector.
What's the view?
Yeah,
it's what I'm going to do.
Well, yeah,
So anyway, I said, marked it up once or twice.
Just the two things that'll be